Hi, Colonia Evangelical Church, KEC. Thank you so much for having us again. And today I have Brian, our longest serving volunteer, because he is our son. Okay, and I also have my husband Cam sitting over there. And Cam is our outreach director. So our whole family served the Lord. And so, so excited that we can be here today. Today, can I see some hands if you have joined us in the Vancouver Downtown Eastside Homeless Outreach before? Okay, we got a couple volunteers here. Yes, we also want to introduce, we have Iwana, we have Jeremy. They have been our volunteers at the outreach since they were very, very young. And Iwana's parents are also here too. Thank you so much. So maybe I just give some background about ourselves. Well, we start with our family. Just like Pastor Gabriel have shared, God is faithful and God called us to Vancouver exactly 20 years ago. We are originally from Hong Kong. Me and my husband live in Hong Kong, and we have Brian, and then we actually live a very comfortable life. We have good church family there too, even spiritual life. But God just somehow, why we were have everything so comfortable, God given us a picture through a vision of Vancouver Chinatown when we pray. So as our family gathered to pray that night, God just showed us this vision. And then later on, we begin to continue to pray and to pray with people, seek wise counsel. And we just feel that God have called us to come back to Vancouver. So our family took a step of faith, not knowing, like quit our jobs, pack our bags. In 4 months, we landed in Vancouver, not knowing what is the next step. So Brian, could you share with us what that is look like for you?
Well, like many things that God gives, you never know what comes next, but you need to say yes. And being able to witness my parents saying yes, and then seeing all the other people, like Pastor Gabriel and many others, even amongst yourselves, where you said yes to God and said yes to something. Being able to meet so many amazing people and seeing a lot of the opportunities where I would have never got to experience. I know that saying yes was the most exciting part of this whole entire journey. And I think that's kind of part of it. And additionally, like being their son, you get to witness everything and also be a part of everything. And so, it's kind of asked of, and it's been great.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Well, as we share, we never know what's next. But the Lord began to line us up. The Lord, 1 year later, he began to line us up with the founder of Will Go Ministry Canada, Pastor Larry and Jean, and through a mission couple that we know. And they have served in China for 10 years. They also do not know why God called them to Vancouver, because they have a very good ministry in China back then. But they also, by taking that step of faith, not knowing anybody or not having anybody in Vancouver, they also moved here. And as we began to serve alongside, volunteer with them, here we are today. 5 years ago, they officially retired when they are almost 80 years old. So Larry was a farmer from Iowa, United States, and Larry was a registered nurse. So we all come from different walks of life, but it's how amazing God will bring different people to come alongside. And even we are so excited God brought your church congregation to walk with us. And actually, the video that you have seen, some of the outreach photos, they have a lot of your own congregation. They are there, but in just probably they are in the Chinese service. So here we are. So let's go to today's text that we felt the Lord want to speak to us. That is in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is found and shine on you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, his glory appears over you. So we are going to explore three questions. First question, what kind of world we are living in right now? The second question, how God wants us to respond to the world around us? And the third question, what is God doing in the midst? So let us see these pictures. This is a very typical scene of downtown Eastside today. Just give you some statistics. Last year, November, on the 21st of November, the Vancouver Fire Rescue went out 54 times in one day. In one day to handle drug overdose. The year before, in 2024, the statistics is 20 to 25 times a day. Imagine 25 times a day, and now it has doubled to the highest 54 times a day to handle drug overdose, more than double. For the BC province, in 2025, last year, 1,826 people died from unregulated drug poisoning, what we call commonly called drug overdose. And three quarter was caused by fentanyl. What is the number 10 years ago? 528. In 10 years, it has more than tripled. But this is not just numbers. These are lives that die every year. Almost 2,000 people in BC because of drug overdose. Most of the homeless people where we met in downtown Eastside during our outreach many years ago, they are more bound by alcoholism, they are more bound by marijuana, but they can still walk straight. But today, because of the influx of fentanyl drugs and other synthetic drugs have caused them to bend over, they cannot even walk straight. A lot of time, this is the picture. So this is just a very small corner of the whole Vancouver. So the first question, what kind of world we are living in? Just as Isaiah said, see, in front of our own eyes, darkness covers the earth, great darkness is over the peoples. So we can have the following response to what we see today in the world. Because this is a situation we couldn't control, we can either be discouraged, grumble, complain, angry, despair, or being hopeless. Since 2006, for the past 18 years, this situation, when the people line up for food, we invite them to be prayed for. Last 18 years, the response is very low. Not to mention that people are willing to even accept the Lord. They are not even willing to be prayed for. We probably get 2 or 3 people that are willing to be prayed for. So the second question, yes, this is what we see. This is the situation. But how God wants us to respond to such darkness around us? As we go to the Word of God, we turn our focus from what we see, but to the Word of God. The Word of God says, God wants us to arise and shine. Kumi is the Hebrew word for arise. It means, do you know what it means? It means get up, awake, stand up. And God also wants us to shine, ori. So the original word is not shine from ourselves. The original word is being enlightened. We accepted the life of Christ because Jesus said he is the light of the world. Whoever believes in him do not walk in darkness, but he is the light of life. He is the very light of life living in our life. And through him, he wants us to shine because your light has come. Because Jesus Christ has already come. All we need to do is to receive. In John chapter 1:4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. In him, Christ was life. He is the life. When we partake his life into our own life, we are able to shine in the midst of this darkness. So let me show you that you could see. Around probably 1.5 years ago, since the church, your church, sending teams and to partner with us, we begin to see their hearts begin to soften for the homeless. It's a switch, there is a change in the spiritual climate. In 2024 December, we have, in 1 hour of outreach, our outreach is usually just take 1 hour, 5 people received the Lord. What a change. In 1 hour, 5 people received the Lord. And now on average, when we pray for people, we will have probably 1 to 2 people are actually willing to receive the Lord. So you see the picture on the left. This is actually one of your own congregate, young adult. She's talking to this this person. And at first, he's just coming by to get the food, and he really don't intend to be prayed for. But your people was patient and bold and begins to walk up to him and to talk to him. And as they begin to chat, he, while he's eating the bread, he began to soften his heart. And then this young lady of your church was able to say a blessing prayer over him. But that's not the end. After that, he was touched. Tears come from his eye. The Holy Spirit touched him. The one on the right, you see a team of us surrounding to pray for a homeless person in the middle. You can't see him in this picture, but he was in one of the video picture. At the beginning, he also just picked up the food, and then he stand just opposite and begins to eat the food. Then we saw something. He's not able to control his bladder, and he begin to wet his pants and his socks. So what can we do? We want to help him. So we send Uncle Cam to quickly walk to one of the nearby shop to get one of a sweatpants and an underwear and a pair of socks. And we ask him to wait there. We are getting this for them, for him. So as we bring back those clothing to him, he was very touched. And we ask, can we just pray with you? Can our team just pray with you? He said yes. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he said the salvation prayer. He received the Lord. He covered himself with a hospital blanket that day. We do not know his health condition. We do not know how many days that he will have. But God knows. God have sent the team to pray with him, and through that he received the Lord and returned back to the Father's house. During last month, I just want to bring you something very recent. During last month, so there are two policemen who walk by our tables. They actually walk past our tables, but they decided to somehow come back. And then they come to the table where the volunteers are, and they ask the team. They ask Brian, which organization are you from? What are you doing here? And after Brian told him, you know, the name, and then told him that we are here to pray for the people and to give them some food, you know what their response? Some people may very worry that they will say, you cannot do that on the street. Right? Very concerned about these two policemen. But they said, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. So we see from all front, the spiritual climate is changing. This is the best time to go to downtown Eastside to have outreach, to love on people, to pray with them, and get them safe. Maybe we see, is this the same in other parts of the world? How about Liberia, Africa? Just give you a little bit of background. Since 14 years ago, we go back every 2 years. Last year, Liberia was ranked the 180th among 190 least developing country by the World Bank. So they're bottom up 10, okay? They are the least developing country by the standard of World Bank. Because of poverty, what happened is poor family could not afford to send their kids to school. And they will even have their most beautiful girl have to provide sexual service to earn income for the family. We can't imagine that, but that is happening. So this is what is happening there. When we go to this picture, you will see one of the schools that we sponsor. This is a very, very simple school. It's an elementary school, by the way. Do you know how many kids receive education there? 150. And by sponsoring 8 teachers with only $30 a month per teacher, because they are the least developed country, so the cost of living is very, very low. So even with that, sponsoring 8 teachers can give education, elementary education, to 150 kids. And that is the first step for them to have the opportunity to go to middle school or high school in the future. So on the right, these are the beautiful faces of some of the children. So the next one, this is one of our ministry school in Liberia. Ministry school is to train people to do the ministry work. And 4 teachers, they are pastor. They pastor their own church, but they took time to teach the ministry work. They can have 50 to 60 students in just one class. In Matthew chapter 9, say, when he saw the crowd, Jesus say, he have compassion of that on them, because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep, had no shepherd. So he said to his disciple, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. This is Shortang. This is a town 4 years ago, have no church, no elementary school, and no clean water to drink. And now, through the God touch people, and then through our ministry, these are being built. And so now, the community of around 500, 100 kids are able to go to school. They have a place of worship, and they have clean water. Let's talk about Cuba. Not sure if you know about the situation in Cuba. For Cuba right now, they only have electricity for around 1 or few hours a day because of the fuel shortage situation. Because of embargo and many other situations there. And people usually only eat one meal or a max two meals a day. And the main food will be banana, different sort of banana or plantain or beans. Male nutrition is very severe there. But we cannot send money there because of the embargo. The next one you will see, there's a bunch of this woods, firewoods. They have to go up to the mountain to cut woods, and then they burn it to make charcoal for cooking. So they have to make their own charcoal. But what do you do at this situation? The church there without electricity, the one on the right, they bow down, they kneel, and they pray. And they pray. What we found is that when they pray, God answers prayer. We were supposed to go there in March, but our flights were all canceled and refunded because there's no fuel. The airplane is not able to get fuel, therefore the airline has to cancel. So we pray again, and the Lord say, be patient. Even though we know there's another way we can go via United States, but the Lord say, be patient. So we try to obey. Patience is very hard, but we obey the Lord. Until this Thursday, I got a message from Cuba. And going back, at the early of the year, the Lord told us to go south from where we usually minister, to go south. We know no church, but the Lord told us to go south in January. And by faith, we pray. And just this Thursday, 2 days ago, I got a text from Cuba, and they say, yes, they have a lead to a church there. A church that their whole roof and the wall was blown away by the hurricane last year. Since last year, they have been praying. They have been praying. So in January, you try to see the whole picture, right? In January, the Lord already answered their prayer. They already told us to go south, but we were not able to go until God's timing. And we are going in September. How exciting is that? And the next one, this is just last year. We also went to a new area on the east called Barakoa. It takes 6 hour journey. We have to start very early. And at the end of the trip, you see the gentleman, he's actually a pastor. And he came to us while we are having our breakfast, and we plan to finish our breakfast, then we have to head back to the town. And he say, then his brother, his younger brother called. Then he told us his younger brother has been away from the Lord for 20 years. And he has been praying for his younger brother for the last 20 years. He asked if our team would be willing to pray. Of course, it's a divine time. We are willing to pray for him. So he have his cell phone just open on speakerphone so he can listen to us, we can listen to him. For a translator on the right, that's Elizabeth, our lovely translator. And the Spirit of the Lord just moved, and his younger brother repented, confessed his sin, and returned to the Lord. And then his brother, this pastor, was so, so touched that God answered prayers 20 years later. So let us think about the third question. What God actually wants us to do in the midst of darkness? But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. The Lord rises upon you. The light, the very life of Jesus, He is the light. He will rise upon you, and then the manifest glory of the very presence of God will appear over you. So if we are willing, this is in the midst of darkness, this is the best time to let your light, the life of Christ in you, to shine. In John chapter 9, verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me, because night is coming. There will be a time when no one can work. This is a sobering warning. Do we understand the urgency? When no one can work, I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So I will encourage you to seek the calling of God in your life. As you can see our life, we do not know what to do. All we know is to pray and seek. And seek wise counsel from your church, from people around you to pray with you. And be open to opportunities that comes your way. When confirmed, be obedient and move and follow Him in action. And take that step of faith. And after that one step of faith, continue to ask God and seek Him for the next step. He will surely show you. And let the light of Jesus Christ, that abundant life that He has promised, shine through every one of you in the midst of this dark world. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. This is the time to arise and shine. So may I invite you to stand and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You that You are a God of mercy. That You sent Jesus, Your Son, the light of life. That whoever believes, we can have that life that shines, that rises upon us. And as we do that, Lord, You promise Your Shekinah glory of Your very presence will cover us wherever we go. And I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here. As they seek You, ask and they shall receive. Seek and you will be found. They will find Your will for their life. As they seek You, you will speak to Him, You will speak to them clearly and loudly. They will know to take just one step. You never told us many steps, but You will told us that one step that we could take. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. So that we can all arise and shine for the sake of Your glory. All glory be unto You. In Jesus' name.